By the way, this is a month of honor where we're honoring different volunteers in our church. A couple weeks ago, we honored Holly for working with our Explorers class. And what I want to do each and every week in the month of June is I want to just take time to honor someone else in our service. This church is basically run on volunteers. We need volunteers to make this happen, what goes on not only on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. So this morning, I want to honor someone else, and it was going to be a team package, but I see half of the package isn't here this morning, but the mainstay of the package is here, okay? So in a few minutes, I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet, and we're going to honor them by giving this person a round of applause. So why don't we begin right now, stand to our feet, as we honor Stacy Wagner. All right. Stacy, come forward. Come on. Okay. Everyone, you may be seated. I just want to let you know the Wagners are a big part of what goes on at this church on Wednesday nights. How many people enjoy your Wednesday nights quietly at home? The Wagners don't have that opportunity. So, Stacy, tell us what you and Jake do every Wednesday night to help us out as a church. What's your responsibility?
We spend our night with the 3 to 6-year-olds. Similar to what Holly does with the Explorers class, but Wednesday nights we have about 12 3 to 6-year-olds that come. And we spend about 2 hours with them learning about God. And quite honestly, makes me appreciate it. I don't have a 3-year-old. But we learn a lot. It's fantastic. Yeah. They are truly a gift.
And then you have another responsibility now with the social media. How's that going, by the way?
It's going great.
Tell us about that real quick.
I'm getting more and more content opportunities from people. So Val and I chatted yesterday for one of those opportunities. It's been going well. You can all like the Facebook and Instagram page at Journey Church River Falls. Get some more followers. That's always good. But it's been fun. It's been great to see the engagement from people on the channel.
Awesome. That's great. I know I've been keeping an eye out on Heather's accounts, and you're doing a great job. But Stacey, I just want to honor you with a little gift. I know you're a Caribou fan. I've seen you there before. So we just want to honor you and thank you for your volunteer. Those kids, they love you guys so much. You do such a great job on Wednesday nights. You and Jake are the right people for the right job. So I hope we can get you a couple more years. But anyway, so let's give it up one more time for Stacy this morning. Thank you so much. Okay. Okay. So I would just want to thank all the volunteers, and we'll continue to honor certain volunteers throughout the month of June. And all of you are very important. I hope you don't get offended. Well, we didn't point you out this. We'll get you sometime, okay? I promise you in that. We're going to begin a new sermon series today, and you're here for week one. And we're going to start a sermon series that we're calling Rewind. So can we say that together, Rewind? And what we're going to do is we're going to rewind the time, and we're going to look back, and we're going to see how did this church thing all get started? I mean, what are the roots? What are the Genesis moments of church? How did this all get started? And really, this is going to be a study of the book of Acts. And today, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. So I encourage you, if you were on the social media, we posted, please bring your Bible to church. And I'm not going to ask you to do if you brought your Bible or not. I'm not here to embarrass anyone. But this is my desire, is that throughout the summer, let's just call it that way, that would you do your best to bring your own copy of the scriptures? So, because this is what I want to see people do. I want to see people to begin to open their Bible and begin to highlight things and underline things. And I would really love for you to say, okay, now I know where that's at this week in my quiet time. I'm going to go back and revisit what we talked about. And not only are we going to revisit it, I want you to do this. I want to say, Lord, if there's something you want to do in my life that we learned in the scriptures this week, Lord, I'm open to what you want to do in my life. So please don't raise your hand or respond in any way, but let me ask you this question. Are you open to what God may want to do in your life? Not what Mike wants you to do. I'm just another person just like you named Mike. But are you open to what God may want to do? God, the one who brought you onto the planet, his planet. Are you open to what God may want to do in your life this summer? And I pray that you'll have that teachable spirit. I'm not asking you to pull weeds and rocks. I'm asking, would you be open to live out the scripture, to live out what God may have for you? So with no further ado, what I want to do is I want us to open our Bibles. And Nolan's going to read today's text, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And then Nolan, after that, if you would pray for not only this morning, but for this series. That would be great, okay? So let's all, it's on the screen, but please, next week, would you please bring your Bible and a notebook so we can be a big classroom learning about God's Word. Go ahead, Nolan.
In my first book, I told you, Theo, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, Jesus commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He responded, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into the clouds while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into the heaven. But someday you return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." So, dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time together with everyone at the church. Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and our ears to hear what you want to speak through my dad, Pastor Mike. And Lord, I just pray this whole summer that your Holy Spirit will stir in us and we'll become more and more like you, and that you'll lead us where you want us to go, Father. And just give us boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Nolan. So Nolan went with the shorter version of Theopolis. Theo, I like that. A guy after my own heart. Theo, man. Forget Theopolis. Let's go with Theo, okay? I love that. So he takes after his father, doesn't he? Well, anyway, let's begin this journey in the book of Acts, and let's talk about a couple things I want to point out. If you have your Bible and you look to the beginning, you'd see automatically that the author of the book of Acts is a guy named Luke. So his name is Luke. And many scholars believe that Luke was a doctor. He was a physician, meaning that as he's writing the book of Acts, he's into the details. He's a detailed guy. He's very careful. He's very accurate in sharing the information that he wants to share with the readers, okay? So a doctor is very meticulous. I hope your doctor is too, by the way, okay? And we also know this from history. And if you turn, you'd know this, to your Gospels, we know that Luke wrote one of the Gospel accounts of the life of Jesus. So here's the million-dollar question this morning to our Bible scholars. Does anyone want to take a guess which one of the Gospels Luke wrote? And everybody said, duh, Luke, okay? So he wrote the book of Luke. Good answer to our Bible scholars. And many scholars believe this is what's happening. Many scholars believe that the book of Acts is simply part two of the Gospel of Luke, okay? So in part one, the writer, which is Luke, he touches solely on the life of Christ. He begins with the birth of Jesus. He goes on to tell about all the teachings, all the stories, all the signs, the wonders, the miracles of Christ. Big part of Jesus' life. Then he talks even about the death of Jesus. He talks about how Jesus went to the cross for one reason, for the forgiveness of our sins. That if we'll turn from our sin and turn to Christ, we have salvation. Luke talked about that. And then Luke concludes the gospel by saying Jesus isn't still dead, but Luke makes it clear that Jesus is what? He has been raised again. He's alive and well. He talks about the resurrection, okay? So that's what Luke talks about in part one, which is called the Gospel of Luke. Now he changes gears and he begins to write this other book, this second book, which is called the Book of Acts. And in the Book of Acts, what we're going to see in the weeks, the months ahead, we're going to see that there's a transition taking place, a transition. And the transition that we see taking place is very simple. The transition is that he's going to go from looking at the life of Jesus on earth, and now the transition is now we're going to see the work of the Holy Spirit on earth. So the gospel's about, hey, about the life of Jesus. This is what Jesus looked like when he came in bodily form, fully God, fully man. This is what it looked like. But in this transition, Jesus is going to leave. Now we're going to see what the work of the Holy Spirit looks like on planet Earth. And by the way, we're still living in this age today. We're still living in this time frame today where it's the Holy Spirit who is at work on planet Earth, okay? And this transition takes place in the verses that we read this morning. And this transition takes place in two different divided parts. First of all, in part one, as we were reading, you would see that Jesus came and did what? Jesus comes and he promises what? The Holy Spirit. That's part one of this transition. Jesus is going to promise the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in part two is this, the ascension of Jesus. He's going to leave earth. He's going to go back to be with God the Father where he was from the very beginning of time. So what I want to do today is I want to look at that slide right there. We're going to look at those two parts, the promise of the Holy Spirit and the ascension of Jesus. And we're going to begin with that first one, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles open, please keep your Bibles open. Please bring your Bible next week. We're going to look at the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives. And he's going to give the promise in two verses, verses 4 and 5. But I'm going to set a little context here. We need to understand something. We need to understand that Jesus was raised again on the third day. And we're going to see in a few minutes that Jesus ascended back to heaven. But how many people realize, and the scriptures told us this morning, that in between those two periods of time, there were what? 40 days. 40 days from the time where Jesus was raised from the dead until his ascension. And the Bible tells us what Jesus was doing during those 40 days. The Bible tells us that he was going and showing himself to the apostles, to different people. Actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you want to read it, says that Jesus during this time appeared to over 500 people. Evidence that, hey, I'm not dead. I am who I said I am. I'm alive. I'm alive. Validation of the truth of the gospel. Very powerful. And Jesus is also using this time to say, hey, I want to teach you guys a couple more things before I go back to the Father. So let's read that. With that in mind, I'll read. You can follow. It says, once when he was eating. Could you imagine? Jesus, you were dead just a few days ago. You were dead. Now we're eating with you. Wow. How many people have had a loved one die in your life before? Could you imagine what it would look like, feel like, be like to be able to sit down again and eat with them? Wouldn't that be awesome? And that's what's happening. It says, once again, when Jesus was eating with them, he gave them a command. So he's getting strong in his voice. He's making a point. He gives them the command. He says, hey, guys, don't leave Jerusalem, because that's where they're at right now. They're in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift. Everybody say the gift. Don't leave until you receive the gift. He promised. And as I told you before, and here's the gift, here's the promise. Jesus says this, John baptized you with water. That's what John did. John the Baptist, he baptized you in water, but in just a few days. Hey guys, just hold on, just in a few days, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is telling him. So what we see here in these two verses is we're introduced that there's two different baptisms that Jesus talks about. First of all, we know this baptism well. It's called baptism in water, okay? Next slide. That's that right there. Baptism in water is when we go out with the old nature, and it's with the new nature that we have in Christ that we become new. It's very symbolic when you go down into the waters, fully immersed. You go down in the old man, and you come up, and you're made new in Jesus Christ. Highly symbolic. Not a right to salvation, but it's telling people that, hey, I have made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And I have followed the Lord's command to be baptized in water. Symbolic. I'm dead to my old self. I'm dead to sin. And now I'm this new creation in Christ. I want everybody to know it's a great celebration. Couple thoughts in regards to that. This summer, we're going to allow you that opportunity. And I'll give you at least 3 or 4 or 5 weeks heads up in advance. And I want you to just come if you've never been baptized in water. But if you have made sure that you have said yes to Jesus Christ, if you've said yes to Jesus as your Savior, the Lord of your life, but if you've never been baptized in water, we're going to give you that opportunity again this summer to go down and to immerse you in the water and bring you up and tell everybody that I am a follower of Jesus. We're going to give you that opportunity. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that, pray about that. And I think the Lord will probably say, do it, okay? Do it. That's the command of Scripture. Another thing about water baptism is you are baptized by another individual. That individual more than likely will be me, but it's not important that it's a pastor. I think it's important that it be another believer. So if you would want another believer to baptize you in water, maybe somebody that really was significant in your walk with Christ, it would be fully appropriate that I step aside and let them baptize you, because the one who baptizes in water is another individual. It doesn't matter if they have a degree or a certificate or this or that or anything else. Anyone can baptize you. I believe they should be a follower of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I think that would just be cool. I think that'd be appropriate. So that's the first baptism that we read about in this passage. So if you've heard about baptism in water, just raise your hand before you've heard about that before. Good. Okay, now we're going to talk about another baptism that I would think that not everyone has heard about before. But we're going to try to make it as clear as we possibly can today. I've done my homework. I've done my praying. I said, Lord, help me to bring such simplicity and clarity to this. Help it not to be complicated, because it's not meant to be complicated. It's meant to be understood. And that's what we want to do today, is we want to bring understanding. The second baptism we're referring to, that Jesus, more importantly, is referring to, is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, okay? So ask yourself this question. Please don't, this is just between you. How many people have heard of that before? Baptism in the Holy Spirit, that language. You've heard of that language, baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I've done a lot of reading, like I've said this week, and I've tried to keep it as accurate and simple as I possibly can. And here's the definition that I've come up with for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if we can go to the next slide, and this is actually a quote from our superintendent, Doug Clay, okay? Here's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It's a whole extra dimension of God's power. Is that exciting or what? It's a whole extra dimension of God's power to do more, to go higher, to reach further for God, that is available to all believers. So if you're here today, and you've already professed Christ as the Savior, the Lord of your life, but you want to go to that extra dimension where you want to do more, say, yeah, that's me, I want to do more. If you want to go higher, if you want to reach further, I want to let you know the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to you as a believer. If you want a whole extra dimension of power, a whole extra dimension, I love that definition, a whole extra dimension of power to do more, to go higher, to reach further. That's available to you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is referring to. It's all centered around one word, power. Can we all say that word together today? Power. It's centered around power. Because actually, if you go down three verses later to verse 8, let's look at verse 8 if you have your Bible open. If not, I provided it for you. This right here is the key verse to the whole book of Acts. Everything we see from here on out in the book of Acts is going to be surrounded by this one verse. It's all going to come from this one verse. This is the key verse. Jesus says this to his disciples right before his ascension. He wants to give them the most important message. He says this, but you will receive, everybody say that together, power. Say it with some conviction. Everybody say power. Power. By the way, if you were to do a Greek study, that word, and many of you know, is the word dunamis. Dunamis. That's the Greek word there for power. And in the English, we get the word, does anybody know? Dynamite. How many people know power from a firecracker is a lot different than power from a stick of dynamite? You know what I'm talking about. You can have the power of a firecracker, boom, or you can have the power of a stick of dynamite that is explosive and changes things. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? We're talking about explosive, changing power. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. And this is how the book of Acts unfolds. You'll go into Jerusalem. We'll see that in chapter 2. You'll go through Judea. There we go. Judea, Samaria. You'll go to the ends of the earth. Why? Because you have the power now to go out. But Jesus is saying, hey, guys, don't even think you can do this on your own. Don't even leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to stay put, okay? So allow me to just share some quick thoughts. You need to know this, first of all. So please, give me your best. I mean, I am just so right on today. I mean, just I'm ready to roll, okay? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to understand, is separate from salvation, okay? Meaning it follows the new birth experience. It's not the same thing. It follows the new birth experience. It's a different, the assemblies would say it's a subsequential work of salvation. It's different, okay? Or let me say it this way. Let me explain it to you this way. This is the simplest way that I feel like I can communicate this to you. Don't get lost this morning. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. How many people can remember that day, by the way? You said, wow, I'm convicted of sin. You made a 180 degree. You repented and you turned and you placed your faith in Jesus. Well, the moment you placed and received Jesus as your Savior, guess what happened? The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, at that moment took up residence in your heart. Think about that, you guys. You have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you the minute you said yes to Jesus, okay? So your body became a temple of the Holy Spirit, as Paul talks about in Corinthians. That's really amazing if you understand the Old Covenant, how the presence of the Lord just dwelled in a temple, in a tabernacle. But now in the New Covenant, when we ask Christ to come into our life, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in a house made by man, but the Holy Spirit comes to live right inside of you. How many people think that's pretty cool? The Holy Spirit lives right inside of you, and he lives there inside of you. So God, what he does is he infuses your life with his presence. He infuses your life with his presence. Listen carefully. Even though the presence of the Holy Spirit lives in us, how many people know we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit? Because I want to let you know, inside of your life, there's a battle going on. It goes on in my life all the time. It's called a battle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. There's a battle that's going on, okay? And I want to let you know you have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. For you to see him do his work in your life, you got to be open and surrender. But the moment you surrender, what happens is he begins to influence your thoughts. He begins to influence your motives, your feelings, your attitudes, your decisions. He comes and just invades your life. I want to let you know you don't even have the power to grow in your relationship with Jesus unless you have the Holy Spirit, surrendering to the Holy Spirit that's given to us at salvation. So I want you to hear this. At salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. Does everybody got that? Look at your name and say, I think I got it. Come on, let's interact here. Do you got it? When you came to Christ, you received the Holy Spirit, okay? But there's a second work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the work that Jesus is referring to in the book of Acts when he says, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Meaning that after salvation, this second work of the Spirit is available to believers who want to have this opportunity to a whole extra dimension of God's power to do more, to go higher, and to reach further. And that's available to every believer. If you want this second work of the Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is that whole extra dimension of power. Right now, you're at a low voltage without the baptism. But once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you go to a whole nother level. Are you hearing me this morning? You guys ought to see your faces this morning. This is not pleasant, is it? For you guys, but this is what's available. This is what Jesus, not Mike, this is what Jesus is talking about, is the second work of the Spirit that's called the baptism. It's available to believers. It's separate from salvation. It's a separate work for those who are hungry, who say, I want more. This is what it looked like in my life. In my life, I came to Christ as a little fifth grader. Fifth grade, I came to Christ. It wasn't until I was an eighth grader in middle school that I received what Jesus is talking about here. As an eighth grader, I went to these special meetings called tent meetings. And in this tent meeting, we had an evangelist came and he talked about what I'm talking about. And someone laid their hands on my life, on my head, And at that moment, I received the baptism, the second work of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's how it looked in my life. I can only share my story. You may have a story. I'm here today to share my story. That's what happened in my life. It's a separate work, a secondary work. Number two, I want to point out the central purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is empowerment. Empowerment so you can go reach people for Christ. Empowerment so you can glorify Christ. It's about intimacy. It's about closeness. It's about, wow, I feel closer to Jesus than I've ever felt before. If you feel like there's a roadblock right now in your intimacy with Christ, one of the steps you may want to take is to receive the baptism and walk in the fullness of the Spirit, and there's going to be a connection. There's going to be an intimacy. There's going to be a new level that you may never have experienced before. Number three is this. Jesus is the one who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. I don't do that. I can't come and baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I can baptize you in water. I can dunk you and bring you back up if you're behaving. But I tell you what, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how many people, and you need to see this, Jesus does the baptizing. Where do I get that from? Well, go to Luke's book. He's very specific. Luke 3:16. Put it up on the screen, please. Luke 3:16. Jesus says these words in Luke 3:16. I baptize you with water. Write that down, Luke 3:16. I baptize you with water, but someone is coming. This is John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I, so much greater than I, that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. Who's John talking about, by the way? Everybody say it together.
Jesus.
He's talking about Jesus. And look at what John says Jesus will do. Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. By the way, we're going to see this in about 2 weeks from today. We're going to see this literally happen where people were baptized with the Holy Spirit and in fire. 2 weeks away. You don't want to miss that week. That'll be the week that just rocks your world, okay? So that's number three. Jesus does the baptism. Number four, you need to hear this very, very clearly. Please listen carefully. You do not need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be a Christian. You do not need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. But I want to let you know, if you want the gift that the Father promised, if you want that gift of a whole nother dimension of power, if you want that whole nother level of power so you can go out and you can live your life effectively and in victory and in intimacy with Christ, if you want that, the gift is available to you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? So part one of the transition is Jesus is coming and he's telling his disciples, hey guys, I promise when I leave, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you all by yourself. I'm going to give you the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's part one of the transition. Part two is now the ascension, meaning Jesus had to leave because he can't send the Holy Spirit until he's gone. Look at verses 9 through 11 real quick. It says, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him, and they strained to see him rising into heaven. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? You look silly. Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. So my question is, why is the ascension of Christ so important to the coming of the Holy Spirit? The next verse tells us exactly why. John 16:7, Jesus says, as he's talking with his disciples just moments before going to the cross, he says, but in fact, it is best. Everybody say best. Jesus says, it's best for you that I go away. They're thinking, no way, that could be better. We love having you here. You bail us out of so many situations. He says, but it's best for you that I go away because if I don't, the advocate, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, if I don't leave, he won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Folks, I just wanted to share with you, it's to our advantage that Jesus went back to heaven. You hear that this morning? And it's to our advantage that he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. Because here's the deal, guys. When Jesus was on earth, he was fully God, fully man. He had physical limitations. He could only be in one place at a time. How many people know that's not true of the Holy Spirit? How many people know the Holy Spirit can be everywhere? I want to let you know there's churches throughout our city, our state, And the Holy Spirit's there just as well as here. I want to let you know that when you leave here today and I leave and I go my direction, you go your direction, and we all scatter. How many people know Jesus could have only went with us, with one of us? But now we have the Holy Spirit, God, living inside of us, going where we go every day, every moment. He is with us. He's there to empower us so we can live in victory over addictions, victory over any area of your life, so that you can have intimacy. This shouldn't be the only place where you feel the presence of the Lord. I hope this is a place, but how many people know the presence of the Holy Spirit goes with you to work? And you can take a time out at work and you can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit with you wherever you go, because he's not limited. Jesus said, it's best, man, that I go away, because I'm going to send someone who's going to be with you wherever you go. And I hope we're never a church that thinks this is the only place where the Holy Spirit works. But I want to let you know that wherever you go each and every day, the Holy Spirit empowers you. He lives in you. He wants to give you more. He wants to take you places you'd never go on your own. The Holy Spirit wants to be with you everywhere you go, so that you have power to be a witness. You have power to glorify Jesus. You have power to have victory in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to be with us all the time, living within us. Amen? Amen. So this is what I want you to do. I want you just to open your Bible in the next weeks, months, this summer. And I just want you to pray this prayer. Jesus, whatever you want for me, I want. Ask yourself right now, are you open to pray that prayer? Jesus, I may not even understand the fullness of what we're talking about here. But Jesus, in the next few months, I'm just open to what you want. Jesus, I'm open to the Holy Spirit. That's my challenge to you this week, this month, just to say, Jesus, I'm open. Jesus, I'm open. And this is what my weeks look like. I begin to speak directly to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, you're a person. You're not a ghost. You're not mystical. You're the third person of the Trinity. You live in me. And I've been speaking directly to the Holy Spirit. Show me more of you. Show me what I can have in you. Holy Spirit, I want to discover depths of you that I've never experienced before. And I tell you what, when we walk in that dimension, there's going to be this power that comes available to us that we never thought we could have. It's a power of God living inside of us. Will you receive the challenge this week? Anybody want to receive that challenge? I'll just be open to pray, God, what do you want to do in my life? And by the way, you have homework next week, because I want us to be on a journey together. And your homework next week is I want you to read the rest of Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 12 through 26 next week. I want you to come in here ready. I want you to come in here charged up. You've read the passage maybe 5-6 times. Come in here next week, read up on Acts 1, 12 through 26. And I'll encourage you, get the word in you. Let God speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But I want to let you know you have power available to you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I read the Bible, I'm like you. I ask questions to God. One of the questions I ask to God when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I often ask the question, well, God, why didn't you give us everything immediately when we became a follower of Jesus? Why didn't you just do it all at one time? Has anybody ever had that question before? Remove the complications of any confusion that there's two different works. Why didn't you just do it all at once? And this is the impression I got from the Lord this week as I was thinking about that. How many people know in your relationships in life with another person, you didn't get everything in that relationship when you first met them for the first time? I mean, when I met Heather for the first time, I was in the back seat of a car. She was out on the street. I got to clarify this. She was with her sister, and she was with this other guy she was dating at the time. They were out throwing football on the street. Can you imagine Heather throwing a football? That's a total paradigm wreck. And I'm in the back seat of the car. The first time I met her, I didn't get the fullness of what I have today. We're at a whole different level. Here's another analogy. We got married in 1995, December 2nd, 1995. I want to let you know, I know Heather so much better. Our relationship is at a whole different level than it was the day we even got married. We're at a whole different level. I mean, it's just, we look at each other and laugh just by looking at each other over a situation that we're both observing. I mean, there's that, we're in the flow together. You know what I mean? You don't. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you might know. That's where you respond with, yeah, I know what you mean, okay? But anyway, that's just and that's the same thing with this relationship with the Holy Spirit. At salvation, we get the Holy Spirit. I mean, and I believe that even those people without the baptism, even if you surrender more, you would get more. But there's this whole different level of empowerment that's available to us through this second work that Jesus talked about, not me, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're really going to knock on this harder in 2 weeks from today when we talk about what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, which is really the birthday of the church. That was the birthday, man. That was the hooting and holler people getting saved. And I just want us to go on this journey together. I want us to be a Spirit-filled church. I want us to be open to the things of the Spirit. But not only do I want us to be a Spirit-filled church, more so I want you to be a Spirit-filled believer. I want you to go out there and live life with power. I want your life to be so filled with power that you're glorifying Jesus in everything you do. You're having an easy time sharing Christ. I mean, your life is making a difference because you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. And I just want us to take this journey together, and I challenge you, pray this month, this week, this month, these next 3 months. Pray, Holy Spirit, do in me what you want to do in me. I challenge you. I double dog dare you. God might show up and really surprise and rock your world, okay? By the way, if there's ever a time that you say, will you pray for me, Pastor Mike, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would love to pray for you. But I also want to let you know, I'm not the one who does the baptizing. Who does the baptizing? How many people learned that Jesus does that? I'll pray. We'll come in agreement. But we're going to trust Jesus to do it. Because a lot of times people pray for this, and they might not receive it instantaneously. But they might receive it later. I've heard of people driving down the road. All of a sudden, they receive the baptism. They feel like God did, or in a shower, whatever the case may be, God showed up and did some incredible things, okay? But it's going to be a great journey. I don't want you to be afraid. I'll be a parent, but I'll also be a pastor. I just want us to be open to the fullness. Because I tell you what, folks, we're living in challenging times. And I tell you what, the times aren't going to get easier. They're going to get more difficult. And I tell you what, if you're going to try to do it and live victorious in your own strength, good luck. I tell you what, God said, no, I'm going to give you a gift. So in the middle of the tough times, in the middle of the tough seasons, you can have victory because you can have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, fully empowered by him. Amen. But can we just exhale right now? Is anybody nervous, by the way, about this type of thing? Don't be. It's God. We're just saying, God, what do you want to do? That's all we're saying. God, what do you want to do? We want the fullness of what you want. So, Father, we just commit ourselves. We commit this series to you. We commit this series to you. And God, I pray, God, that not my will, Mike Bechtel, will be done, but God, your will be done. The will of the Holy Spirit be done. And I pray that you'll be with us on this journey. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.